All right, welcome to Game Chat, guys. This week we are talking about The Silent Age, which was developed by House on Fire. It's a developing studio, released back in 2012. Well, the first part was, and then I guess the second part that was treated as like episode two was released 2 years later. So, you know, that's kind of sobering if you're thinking about releasing. We were just talking about Life is Strange 2 and episode releases. Imagining waiting like 2 years between each episode. It's suddenly becoming like Kentucky Route Zero. So it was finished in 2014. House of Fire hasn't made that many different games. There's a couple of mostly mobile games, but anyways, so we'll get started on our introductions. Along with your intros, guys, I want you to tell me if you've ever owned a lava lamp, and if you did, what color the lava lamp was. I'll also accept if your parents owned one in the house growing up, and if you liked it, but whatever. So, starting at the top.
Hi, this is Franco. No, I've never owned one. Family have never owned one. But I've seen them in the wild, and I find them fascinating.
I am really surprised at that, Frank. I really thought that you would have owned one at some point in your life.
My family was one of those, it'll burn the house down.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah. I'm Madeline, and I feel like my parents expressed similar sentiments, although a lot of my friends had them, but none of their houses caught on fire, so.
Because that was a thing, right? Like, there was something where, did they catch on fire easily?
No, I think it was just the whole hot light with the potential of the lamp falling over, and the only thing that's really going to do anything is the glass is going to shatter and create a mess everywhere.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. Next.
I'm Kevin, and I personally didn't have a lava lamp, but my brother does, so I kind of own one by proxy, and it was blue liquid with green goop, whatever the lava lamp stuff is.
Wax.
Really? It's wax?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I guess, was it a light bulb that lights it up and that's what generates the heat, or?
Yep.
Okay.
Alright, I'm Chris.
But yeah.
I still currently own a lava lamp. I put the picture in the chat here.
Oh.
Yes.
I haven't turned it on in 10 years or so.
Hey, that looks like my brother's, sort of.
It's just there. Blue with, I think, white wax in there. Again, it's been so long since I turned it on, I can't really quite remember. But yeah.
I am Steph, and did someone just like join in and join out? Anyways, my name's Steph, and I did not own a lava lamp personally, but my parents did. It was gold. The base was gold, and it was red, and they kept it in their bedroom. I thought it was the grooviest thing ever. I used to love just sitting there watching it. Anyways.
Oh, fun fact, really.
Yes.
The Hawaiian Islands were basically formed by what they call the lava lamp effect. Because
the lava lamp effect?
Yeah, so it's basically, you know, you have the Ring of Fire with the Pacific there, so it's really like smack dab right in that tectonic plate.
Yeah.
And what was happening is the lava's flowing up towards the North Pole. And as it's doing it, it's bubbling up on the surface, causing the islands. But if you look it up, I think there was like a little video on YouTube or something that explained the whole process. It's really fascinating.
The more you know.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys, for being here. The Silent Age. I don't know if it originated as a mobile game, but I know it is available on mobile, as well as PC. But you start out as this average Joe. His name is Joe. And he's working in a high rise, and it's about time travel. And and so they use time travel as a gameplay device to solve puzzles. So, you know, just kind of a point and click game, roughly. I mean, it took me about 3.5 hours, personally. But I had a little bit of trouble on a couple of puzzles, so I had to kind of work my way through it. But, so we'll jump right into it. So, how did you guys like, the game mechanics? Like, the controls, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera?
So...
Oh, okay, go ahead,
Chris. I played this, maybe 2 years ago or something.
Mm-hmm.
I think I might have gotten it through Humble Bundle or whatnot. But I found, you know, the gameplay to be very simplistic, which was nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing, too, as I'm playing it the second time, I was getting, like, flashbacks of, what was that game with the little girl? And
A Broken Age?
No. The girl, Franbo, because mm-hmm. it's like, you know, you flash back to like these scary, like alternate dimension type of thing.
Yeah.
Whereas with this, you're going back and forth into the future, and the future is a very completely different.
Dystopian.
Yeah, like there's no one around. Everything is just deteriorated and everything. Yeah. So, yeah.
Frank.
Yeah, I thought actually I liked. The gameplay pretty simple, as Chris said, and it worked. In other words, it was pretty tough to get stuck somewhere, or, you know, it was pretty, you know, simple and didn't have to worry about walking on top of a desk and getting stuck there or something like that. So
yeah, true.
The gameplay in general, once I got the hang of it, it was pretty easy and pretty simple.
Good.
I liked it.
Good. Now, Kevin, I know that did you have a problem with the controls? I know that the controls...
I didn't really have a problem with the controls. Okay. The puzzles were a little bit obscure in some places. Yeah. I'm still like at the very end, so I haven't fully finished it. I kind of know where it's going.
Okay.
But it definitely feels like this was need to be mobile compatible.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Like,
playing this with a mouse, it just feels like the screen's way too big for it being a point and click.
Yeah, like, I didn't get that, but I got, like, it was, like, you could double click for him to continue walking, but I never figured out, like, how to have him continue running, or if even if there was. Like, I mean, he would run from one side of the screen to the other, but he wouldn't scroll through with it. As Frank was saying, it was very simplistic, which was fine, compared to our month chat game, Beyond Two Souls.
We'll just leave it at that.
Nice little reprieve. So did you guys like the traveling through time to using the time travel mechanism to solve the puzzles?
Yeah, once I got into it and, you know, sort of got it, so to speak, yes. Yeah. And the one thing I'm going to say about the puzzles is, some of them were some of them were obtuse, but after about the first or second obtuse ones, I sort of realized, and it was sort of almost like it had a calming effect that was like, okay, it's not like if you forgot something six panels before, you're, you know, totally screwed.
Yeah.
The solution is here somewhere. You just need to find it.
Yeah, that was really nice.
Yeah. It's like, you're not going to go any further. You're not going to, you know, you are where you are until you find what you need to find.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That calmed me down.
Mm-hmm. It reminded me a lot of what I suggested earlier when Chris was trying to think of Franbo. It reminded me of Broken Age, having to switch in between the boy and the girl. You know, it's different, but it kind of brought me back to that. You know, I noticed that, like, I also liked that you could save at any point, which goes well that it was a mobile game. That you could just press pause and it just at any point in the game and it brought you right back there. I really liked that. And I was like, I kind of wish that if I definitely played mobile games more, this would definitely be something that I would, you know, a game that I'd probably, you know, like to have on there just because of that feature. Makes it very uncomplicated. So going to the puzzles that Kevin mentioned, did you guys find any puzzles particularly challenging?
I guess the first one that really started to get stuck on was the apartment building. Uh-huh. It took me a while to realize that the ladders worked in the one area, not the other area. And then, oh, there's a hole in the ceiling. Oh, okay. I got to go up to the roof, get through the hole in the ceiling.
Yeah.
And constantly flipping back and forth, you know, between past and future to get, you know, several different pieces from each area. So eventually I was like, oh, okay, finally, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyone else?
There were a few times where I, like, accidentally found that you could, like, go down through holes in the ceiling or holes in the floor where I clicked on it. Because you just click on everything and it was a thing you can click on, and then you like got down and jumped through it, and I was like, oh, cool. Oh,
yeah.
I had no idea. Thank you. Yeah. That helps.
I just remember having a hard time at the house once you got there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my second playthrough this time around was a little better because I was able to remember most of the solutions to the puzzles, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't remember where I first. Oh, I started getting really confused on what the heck to do with the lighter and the turpentine thing.
Oh yeah, with the stick, you had to put the.
That was before that. Where you have to find the syringe in the sewer and then use the syringe on the turpentine and then go and burn the sticks in the sewer with the
right.
And I'm like, why can't I just put the turpentine in the lighter?
Yeah,
I tried that as well, and then it's like
and it's like, no, you can't do that. You can't use an item with another item. I'm sorry.
Yeah, they simplified it that way.
That was definitely
simplified it, quote unquote.
Which I didn't mind because, like, sometimes, like, you didn't really have that problem in this one because you didn't have a huge amount of items in your inventory at one time.
Mm-hmm.
But I know sometimes in games where you can have, like, all of these items in your inventory and you have the ability to combine some, that you're just like, sometimes I just go through and I'm like, okay. Like, I think I ran into that with The Longest Journey. I just was like, okay, I don't know what to do here. Let me just try to combine items in my inventory fruitlessly. But there were times I was like, well, maybe it will let me combine these items now in this game. But it, of course, didn't work. Not for the mechanics. But I'm trying to think. There were a couple near the end. And thank goodness I was testing my streaming because I haven't streamed in a while. So I was testing my streaming and I actually like streamed the last half of the game about the last half of the game today. And thank goodness I was, because there was someone in the chat that like actually like helped me out with a couple of the puzzles, because aww. I was like this close to looking them up online, which is fine. I don't care. But he was like, yeah, like he had never played the game before. And he was like, yeah, like try this. And two or three times it worked. And I was like, oh, thank you. Man. but it was towards the end. I think it was with the planting the apple.
Yeah, planting the apple was a tough one.
End, because I didn't know where to find the soil. Right. It took me a bit to even kind of think about oh, planting the apple, like, because the guy, you know, of course, doesn't want a core of an apple. Like, he just, that guy just, like, turns away in disgust. And so I was like, I don't know what to do. Like, where do I find a full apple? And this person was like, plant it. And I was like, oh, where to plant it? Then I had to go out to find the soil. But, and there are a couple of other areas that it took me. Oh, with the twig.
Yes. Oh my gosh. That was where I finally broke down and had to look it up.
That was one of them that I was so close to looking it up because, like, I was like, I don't know what to do with this. I have no idea. Because I was going into every room and I was like, I have a twig in my inventory and a fire extinguisher and I can't get to the axe because the vines are in the way. And so someone mentioned something about the fire in the chat. Like, he was like, well, maybe use the extinguisher on the fire. And I, you know, maybe that will, like, set off something. Or so I tried to do that. It didn't work. And I was like, wait, I have a twig. I can try to set this on fire. And as soon as I put the twig on the fire, it said, oh, well, it's not just going to, you know, I need some kind of, like, starter on it first to get the fire, like, to keep the fire going. Mm-hmm. So then I was like, oh, yeah, there's an oil drum downstairs. Just randomly there.
I forgot. I was doing, you know, just because when you have it, you just try, like, oh, I wonder what this looks like in the other timeline. And I forgot to click it and see it in the future in that room.
Oh, no.
And so until I looked it up on the walkthrough, and then I was like, oh, crap.
No.
There it is.
Yeah.
Welcome to the future where people keep sticks conveniently on tables.
Yes, yes. I also got a good kick out of, like, you traveled, you know, like, I think, what, around, like, 20 years into the future, and...
It's supposed to be around 2012.
And nothing, no, you wake up in 2012. I think you were traveling because...
Oh, you were in the 70s, yeah.
Because, the nurse at the end said something like, well, in the 90s, this happened. And so... me and someone else was kind of speculating that maybe you're traveling to the 90s, something changed, that future didn't happen, and so now you wake up in 2012.
Yeah, right. Because he put himself in the cryogenics where the first time he didn't do it.
Yeah, yeah. So, I don't know. But, so anyways, you travel 20 years in the future, and everyone is standing in the exact same place because their skeletons are there where they were standing. And you do things in the 70s, and no, like, planting a core of an apple in a drawer, travel to the future 20 years later. No,
it's
one
actually
has...
40, I believe.
No,
yeah,
one,
nobody,
70s
nobody has 90s. Done anything with the tree. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, because the guy, when he comes back to you, says that he traveled 40 years.
Oh, okay.
So that they could be in 2012, because it's supposed to be. To modern day, but alternate world modern day.
Okay.
But the game came out then, so.
Right. So, getting kind of into the story part of things, how did you guys, I mean, what did you guys think about Joe? Do you think that, you know, that this game is making him out to be, and this is all speculation, but making him out to be, like, a chosen one? Or do you think that, like, he was just there? Like, he's supposed to represent, like, the everyman of just being there at the right time to be chosen, you know, or to find the guy, the time traveler guy? Or do you think that he was supposed to?
Well, it does bring up the whole question of fate and multiple timelines, and maybe there were more than one Joe, or, you know, something like that, where, but he wasn't named Joe out of accident, i.e. the average Joe.
Yes. Yeah.
That's what he was, the average Joe. He was just, wasn't a big brain college graduate. He was a custodian at the 1970s or 60s, polytech firm, I guess, or something. Yeah.
With the charisma of one.
Yes. Just doing his job, man. Just doing his job.
He's a complete idiot.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. a bad time, but he was just very obtuse. Like, he was very, is the word obtuse? Like, he was very just kind of like, it took him a bit to kind of put things together. And he just couldn't, like, formulate his words very well when he was speaking to people. And so he just kind of very bumbly, you know,
with his conversation. Kind of a lot of vibe, like, the movie where the dude gets sent back in, or sent forward in the future, and, like, everyone is, like, they think that plants need Gatorade, and
Idiocracy. Wrestling
dude. Yeah, I got, like, the vibe that Joe was similar to the dude from Idiocracy.
Oh.
In our time.
Yeah. I think it was, for him, it was just complete wrong place, wrong time type of thing, that he just got thrown into the whole mix of it. It wasn't necessarily, he wasn't necessarily, like, meant to, I don't know, do this or whatnot.
Yeah.
I just kind of thought, do you think it was purposeful that he wasn't exactly the brightest guy, so he would go for the, you know, the time travel idea without too much questioning it? You know, it's like, oh, okay, I'm a time traveler now, you know, so kind of thing, you know, it's like where some people would have doubt and try to theorize what's really going on, you know, and all this craziness.
Yeah.
So,
or like his buddy Frank to try and, like, sell it or steal it for nefarious purposes.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And he did just kind of go along with it. Wait.
I was expecting for most of the game to find out that Joe is eventually becoming the professor, right? That gives him the thing that says, you have to go and find me. And
that would have been a nice twist.
Yeah, I was glad that it wasn't that.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
It's disappointing. You would have
thought it would have been too tropey. Yeah. Although I should have seen it a mile. I didn't see it, but I should have seen it a mile away that he is the guy who actually shoots the professor.
Yeah, I should have seen that too. As soon as it happened, I was like, oh, of course.
Yeah.
Who would be the unexpected person in the wrong place at the wrong time?
Joe had a lot of that. That was his life, of just being it. Or, you know, being at the wrong place at the wrong time, or being at the right place in the right time. Like, you know, just like that, you know, he was just there, and so it happened to him.
He doesn't even know what a carp look, clownfish looks like.
What, a codfish?
Clownfish.
Clownfish.
He's like, oh, it's a picture of a fish. It must be a carp. Sure. It's like, that's a clownfish.
I'm not sure that I would either if Finding Nemo wasn't like a, I wouldn't know what it was called. I wouldn't think it was a carp, only because we have, you know, I've seen a carp, but yeah,
I'm not up on my fishes. I don't know.
He knew about some plants.
He did. And he was very... Anyways, he was very interested in the art on the walls. Kind of.
Yes. I was.
The spiraling staircase.
Every single picture.
He was mesmerized.
Because I was convinced there was a safe behind one of them.
And I love his reactions to some things. Groovy.
Far out. I found the voice acting a little bit distracting at some points because it just didn't really seem to match.
Aww, I liked his voice. It seemed just kind of like regular.
Yes.
And what I found really stupid was he knocks the doorknob off of the one door in the future and then is somehow able to magically just stick it in the door and it works to open up the other door.
Yeah,
that doesn't make any sense. That's not how doorknobs work.
That's kind of how doorknobs do. Yeah. Some doorknobs do work that.
Yeah.
Right? The knob has a stem in it, and the stem turns them to you.
He also filled a chainsaw with alcohol, and it worked.
Yeah, that part was
really well. Harsh. Yeah, that also was ridiculous. But the guy has a pet crocodile, so
I don't know.
All bets are off. There's also time travel, so really, which level of reality
are
you expecting
start
the game
to
maintain?
A little thing that looks like a wishwash,
Did you guys drink the drink at the bar that you bought?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes.
Did anybody stay to listen to the, or click to listen to all the guys' things?
At the bar?
Yeah, because if you keep clicking and don't push the button right away when he's mixing your drink, he's like, oh, where did I put this? And where did I put that?
Yeah.
Where are those quail eggs?
Yeah.
I kind of panicked and said, let me get this globe right away.
Yeah, especially liked Joe's like commentary while he was drinking. One was that I screen capped while I don't have it pulled up, but his commentary when he took drinks of that drink was one was about a unicorn.
Yep.
It was beautiful. It was magnificent. So other than what we were discussing about kind of Joe, if he was kind of chosen to do this or if it was an everyman, like, did you guys get any other kind of like, I guess, commentaries from the game or pick up on any other kind of talking points? Like, one specifically was just like, and I kind of noticed this too, like with the whole like job thing, like the promotion thing in the beginning. And, you know, his boss was like, you're promoted, you know, so you get to do Frank's job and your job.
Right, for no more money.
And,
no title.
Yeah,
which I
exactly.
actually got offered that before
I'm
I
sure
left
you
my
did.
Last job.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of just laughed at them.
I mean, but that's kind of how it happened.
Oh,
I mean,
yeah, with no extra pay?
Yeah.
I've never experienced it like me myself, but I have experienced with friends and like people that at my jobs that I've worked at, like they would get promoted. It's like, oh, well, you get all these extra responsibilities, but we still, and you get a new title, but you know, your pay doesn't go up. But hey, it's a promotion. Like, you know, you have so many things to do now. It's like, I don't know if that's a promotion or. But there seems to be kind of Madeline pointed out one of her questions was that there seems to be kind of a commentary of like who's expendable and who's not, and you can also see that like with even just Joe himself and his story throughout the game. Did you guys pick up on that at all?
Well, now that you mention it, yes. But along with all the guys they sent into the future and never came back.
Well, exactly.
Yeah.
The guy with the.
Who knows? Joe could have been next for all we know. You know.
I know.
Here, put this hazmat suit on and step into this device.
Mm-hmm. And they apparently think cats are expendable because they showed a cat like when they were doing their tests inside the time machine, and I was like, so there's a bunch of like time traveling cats everywhere. Is that?
That explains.
That explains so much.
Like a reference to pretty much any scientific. thing like Schrodinger's cat and they use cats for their teleportation thing. Tesla uses it in the Prestige.
Well,
in biology, in the college level, I think you get a cat, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Oh,
anatomy, yes.
Yep. Oh. That's the next level anatomy. Sorry.
Thank the Lord Jesus, I went to art school.
Well, that was just, it almost, you know, it reminded me just being in the bureaucratic realm of the, you know, of employment for so long that, you know, it's the sad realization in any big bureaucracy. It's just a fact of life that the good horses get whipped. The better job you do, the more you get to do.
It was very big business. And even like in the beginning, and I'm rabbit trailing here, but even in the beginning with when you went up to the boss's office and you had to talk to the secretary or to his assistant that was outside. Mm-hmm. I love, because it's so truthful, because, you know, I mean, I'm sure you guys have managed people under you or, you know, like I was an office manager in Boston and she treated him like a child, which you know, and she even mentioned, she was like, oh, you guys are just grown, you know, but you're all boys at heart. You're all just a bunch of kids. I was like, yeah, you really do start seeing people as kids when you, like, start managing them. Like, you're almost like, yeah, it's just a bunch of toddlers running around.
Or, you know, if you have to support them with technology.
Right. Yeah, yeah, no, that, yeah, oh, yeah, that too, I'm sure. I'm sure.
But you get the...
can't you do anything?
The opposite end of, you know, people getting so upset they start crying because they can't access something. And then it's like... God. Grow up.
It's overwhelming to live.
Grow up.
Really, like, you're a grown adult. Why are you crying over this?
Can you please just record you saying that to someone? That'd be great. That'd be great. Make sure you have a job lined up first, though.
Yeah.
Okay. So who else did? So did I mean? There was a point in the game where you had to electrocute Nemo. I was okay with this. I was okay with this.
Yeah, it was just one of those. There's a button. Let's push it.
Yeah, let's push it.
See what happens. I tried
to pull the cable out of the pool first because I didn't.
You would think. Yeah.
I didn't think about why I needed it, and then I was like, as soon as I pushed the button, I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
I can feed the crocodile.
Because, as you know, if you feed a crocodile a clownfish,
massive clownfish.
If you feed a crocodile clownfish, he'll eat for a day.
He'll
let you in the door.
He'll leave you alone.
He'll come back the next day expecting another clownfish.
I like how the one guy's in the basement the whole time. He's like, you were making, like, such a loud racket.
Yeah.
The other guy, the other scientist.
Yeah. And he talks about how much of an idiot you are. In his journals in the future.
Yeah.
Yes.
That was the... Oh, I saw... it was about the doors. Right? Is that what you're talking about? Doors?
The idiot cut through my door and it's freezing cold now.
Because you're wondering, like, because when you go from the past to the future, you're thinking... Because, well, Joe is, like, he makes comments of why did they change the doors to metal? Like, you know, like, the doors were wood, now they're metal. That's weird. Because you broke all of his doors, and so now he has to replace them with metal. You idiot.
Well, it probably also might be to the fact that he was trying to make a fallout shelter in his house.
Oh, my gosh. So, you know, when you get towards the end, you start... seeing that, or yeah, at the end, that Joe was just kind of a sacrifice of, like, and I didn't really understand, like, did Frank and the doctor know that he was bringing the flu back with him?
I don't think so.
So Frank didn't know what he was doing. He basically just stole the plans to get away and didn't realize that he was actually going a lot farther than what he anticipated. He basically just stole the instructions to the time machine without knowing what he was doing. The professor had known that Joe would have brought the virus back because when you go to see the professor after you've gone through your whole trials and everything, he basically is trying to tell him you can't come back, but dies before he's able to say it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right, because he was like, didn't he end, like, on never?
You can never.
Yeah.
Never. And you're like, right. Oh, no, he's gonna die, and he's gone. He's gone. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so Joe's just upon the doctor of...
Well, as the professor says, that damn causality, he couldn't even... There was nothing he could do to stop him from getting shot. It's like it had to happen. Once Joe gets into the future with Frank, that's when it's like, this is going to be the... I was wondering if it's going to be a choice time, you know, or is this game going to give me, you know... Joe obviously didn't realize it until the very, very, until he got back from the future that he was the one who brought the virus. But if he,
I know,
I was wondering to myself, if I, you know, if he realizes that he's the one that's going to bring the virus back,
yeah,
what would you do? Would you stay? Would you, you know, I don't know. That's a tough choice.
But the causality thing is BS because Joe cannot, like, the world doesn't end. You can, he was able to change.
Yeah, he did change
something about
yeah
a timeline. So
he could have prevented the doctor from dying.
Yes,
he just didn't try hard enough. Joe,
well, God. I tried in the future to walk through the fan that was stopped, and it's like, nope, you can't. So I went back to the past and shot the box, and then afterwards I went back to the future and was able to completely, unobstructedly walk back and forth through.
Maybe it was at a weird angle? I guess?
So you didn't even have to shoot the doctor. Or at least the game forgot to make it so that you wouldn't notice that you didn't have to shoot the doctor.
True, because, because when you went into the future, he said that it was obstructed and that you couldn't get mm-hmm. through that first one. But then, after you shoot the box in the past, or you know, in the 70s, it's suddenly okay for you just to walk back and forth freely.
Mm-hmm.
Right, in the future.
In the future, yes.
Right, yeah, so that was confusing. Yeah.
Interesting.
That'd be the only thing I could think, Kevin, is that whenever you shoot it, it stops it at a different angle somehow.
Maybe.
Yeah.
So an interesting thing that is that and you can tell me if you think this means anything or if it was just storytelling. But Joe, you know, he kind of starts the game alone. I mean, I guess technically, you know, like he had Frank there, but Frank was let go, so he's kind of or promoted. I mean, quote unquote, or no, what? You know, he left. That's what he was told. He was told Frank left for a different job. And so he's kind of alone in his position, you know, doing two people's job. Most likely more than that. You know, and he kind of, you know, and you go throughout the game alone kind of as well. Although you have the doctor and stuff, but you end the game very alone. Or at least so it seems. I mean, you know, the ending of the game... for this listening, like you and spoilers, you know, you end up you wake up out of cryo, or you're woken up out of cryo in 2012. And kind of, I mean, not really. I mean, is it a mental institution or is it a hospital? I don't know.
It is the psychiatric wing of a hospital.
Okay.
Right.
And so you wake up there, you talk to a doctor, and you know, she kind of explains things to you a bit. She says that, anyways, I'll get to that in a second. But so you go out to your life, and, you know, she's like, oh, well, 2012 was great. Like, you know, we have all these advancements. no worry about like getting him adjusted from the 70s into 2012. Like, just like, oh, go out and live your life. You'll be fine.
She said they had a rehab team.
She said that he would be working with the rehab team.
Okay, good. I just thought about that and I didn't remember it. So, and you know, you kind of end the game with kind of shots of Joe riding on the subway alone with kind of sad music. The music wasn't very promising, if I remember correctly. Just very somber, and he was on the subway alone. He was working at like this massive call center where everyone wears white t-shirts.
Yeah, that's not that's really not how that happens now. I mean, maybe back in the 70s, yes, but even what, 4 or 6 years ago, that still wasn't how things are done now.
I know.
This is how they happen on PBS programming specials.
So, yeah, and he's in the call center. I think he's walking alone on the street. It's like fall and it looks chilly or something. And like, do you think that means anything? Are we supposed to get anything out of Joe being alone like that at the end of the game? Like, is it, I guess, I mean, to me, I was kind of thinking, is it that it's trying to convey, like, well, just because it's the future and things are quote unquote, like, oh, so much better, you know, like the doctor was really talking up 2012. I was trying to remember back to 2012 and I was like, I don't know if it was that special. But, you know, like, just because it's the future and it's quote unquote, oh, of course it's gonna be better. Like, is it better? You know?
I'm sure it's better than the 70s.
What? I don't know. I don't know.
In some aspects,
sure. Sure.
We didn't keep, like, iridium in janitor closets.
That's true.
As often.
That's true.
That's true. That's
wait,
true.
What?
All those barrels he had in his janitor closet.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot what they were. I just know that they were toxic.
Frank, the character, what he was talking about, he was like, yeah, I got all this iridium and got all this stuff, and it showed
yeah, drew his attention to the place.
With
yeah.
barrels and barrels of iridium. Now, if I was Joe in that situation, because Joe was sitting at the table with them, I would have been like, what the hell is this? This seems unsafe. But Joe's just drinking away. Okay.
Didn't he get paid to, like, or he got something, I think, in exchange.
A certificate, as it said, Employee of the Month.
Yeah,
it's on his wall, yeah.
And they had to keep in his...
Right, he couldn't let anybody else see it.
Another great thing about big companies.
Right.
Do a good job, get a certificate. Thanks.
I don't know if the ending was just like them not really having anywhere to... I don't know if there was a purpose to it or just, okay, just... And Joe goes about his life in 2012.
It's very sad, though. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah,
like,
it did.
It made it happier of, like, him, like, oh, he gets to enjoy the luxuries of 2000... quote-unquote luxuries of 2012, you know?
He got an iPod.
Yeah, he did.
It would have been nice to see him visit, like, all the old places to see what they are now in 2012.
Yeah.
In the saved world, you know, like the bar, the...
Oh, yeah.
Go visit the cop in the retirement home that was interrogating him.
Yeah.
Wait,
you gotta assume all these people survive now, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Yeah.
I was really depressed.
Yeah, it kind of was. It was like, it's good to be alive, but yeah.
You start the game and you see him doing, like, he's standing in the rain holding a sign for food, and he's, like, working at a shipyard, and then he's going off, what I assume, to Vietnam, and then he comes back and he's a janitor. Like, all people that you don't, like, maybe you think about in, like, a class or in terms of, like, their function, but you don't usually think about as individuals.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he went back into that sort of, like, group identity after this, you know.
Yeah, really. The guy who saves the world, he's back. He'll probably end up being a janitor again or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or some 2012 equivalent. Well, there are still janitors out there in the world.
There are still janitors, Frank.
Yeah.
There are still janitors. Until the robots are mass produced, there's still janitors. Hasn't quite happened yet. But no, I agree. I found it very kind of like, oh, okay, this is very sobering. I guess I'm happy for Joe. I don't really know what I think a good ending would have looked like. But you know, I mean, you coming from the 70s into 2012, I mean, that would be a heck of an adjustment. So, like, that's another thing that, like, I personally was kind of confused about. Maybe you guys can clear it up for me. Is that, okay, so he wakes up in 2012 in his room. You go out into the hallway, and there's two other rooms you can go into. One of them has the guy that you can turn the TV on, and he leaves and goes upstairs at the computer. Which I never did anything with him beyond that. Like, he went out in the hallway, went to look at the other computer, and that's it. I was like, I don't know what else to do with you.
I clicked on him, and it said,
yeah,
he's just staring at the screen, but he seems a lot happier now, so I'll leave him alone.
Yeah.
That's all you can do with him, I think.
Yeah.
And then there was the guy in the room who you had to get a pen and paper for. And he was... here's what I'm thinking. Did any of the time travel really happen? Or...
It insinuates that. Maybe.
Or are they just trying to make you think to be like, did it really happen? Or no, and it happened?
I would say it really happened because...
the cryogenic chambers.
Throughout
the
whole time of playing the game, there were talks about how the time pilots would come back and they weren't really the same and they would just kind of scuttle them off and everything. And right. I think those two people might have been the two bodies that were already in the cryogenics.
Oh, okay.
Yes, they were.
Okay. I see what you're saying. That makes sense. With your eyes that open. Makes sense. I didn't think about that because I saw the scribbles on the guy's wall and it was the company's name. And then it had that same like swirling pattern on one of the pictures on the wall, the quote unquote pictures that was similar to the spiraling staircases that you found in a lot of the the houses and stuff, back in the 70s, or in the future. Anyways, and so I was like, oh, well, did any of that? And then you talked to the nurse, you talked to the doctor in the room, and she says, like, she makes it sound like, because Joe asks her, because, you know, she's like, you know, you were put into cryo back in the 70s, welcome to 2012, blah, 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 and Joe, like, asks her about, you know, the end of the world, you know, like, he asks, like, you know, mentioned something about, oh, well, everything was wiped out, blah, 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 and she was like, oh, yeah, like, she made it sound like that they all did, and then it was just like a just part of the cryo sleep that they imagined that happening.
Well, she is a rational human being and would not accept that someone has been able to time travel.
That's true.
The much more likely explanation is that it's a psychosis.
Yeah,
it's brought on by imperfect cryogenic preservation.
That makes sense. And
technically, the time travel is not it didn't actually end up happening because he prevented everything, because he, I guess, altered slightly the events.
Well, that instance of time travel didn't, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right, that's a little more clear. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Glad you're here. So, the title... The Silent Age. Do you think that was, I mean, is it just accepted that this is talking about the future and that the future was silent because everyone was dead?
I'm guessing, yeah. I can't see what else I can point to. Okay. Or, you know, now that you mention it, now, I mean, the ending with Joe, after he's out of the hospital, it's silent. I don't know.
It is silent.
Yeah. He's all by himself and not really interacting with anybody.
Yeah.
That was my thought, that Joe is silent about basically his traumatic life experience sacrifice, really.
Yeah.
And so now he's entering the silent age where he can never talk about anything.
Nobody's gonna believe him, yeah.
You can't think
he can't just go back to a padded room, probably.
Yeah, he can't talk about the '70s because he obviously doesn't look like he was alive in the 70s. He could act like that he was coming at it from like a historical, like he was a historian and he was extremely interested in the 70s.
But not if he's gonna call him Honest Richard.
Yeah.
Oh, I just remembered something that really confused me. He's able to go through all these windows so easily.
Mm-hmm.
These windows still have tons of shards of glass in them, and he's like completely fine, not fazed at all.
Yeah.
And the other thing that confused me was the layout of how the apartments, or like the layout of the apartments, police station, street complex. Is really confusing and doesn't really seem to make sense.
Yeah.
Because, like, you go on to, like, you have the police station, and then you go up to the first, you're in the back behind it, and then you go up to the apartments, and then you go through the window, and that's already on, like, another street level.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, aren't those, like, apartments right next to the police station? So, like, is, like, the next street over from the police station elevated up a whole entire story?
It's almost like those pictures that he kept looking at on the wall. There's three blocks stacked together, but he can't tell which one is on top.
Mm-hmm.
Or the devs just didn't really map out their world well.
That, if you do, you can do Escher geometry in games.
I just wanted to jump on top of that bicycle and jump over the wall.
Mm-hmm.
It just wouldn't let me.
You know, honestly, I didn't even do
that. I wanted to put the apple in the time machine and send it back.
Yes.
That was the other possibility. I was like,
fill the dustpan with water coming out of the drip and just dump that on the the computer.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh yeah, true.
What?
You try to put the apple.
I like
in the time
how machine. He just picks up a beaker of hydrofluoric acid without like any qualms.
That's how.
But like other times, he's like, oh. In order to fix these wires, I need to use a rubber glove.
Mm-hmm.
But nope. Beaker acid, nope.
Yeah.
No issue. I'm just going to stick that in my pocket.
Yeah.
What would Joe do?
He's got it down. Okay, is there anything else that you guys want to discuss about the game before we go into final scores? Final thoughts and scores? It's a no. Okay. Yes, Kevin?
Oh. Band-Aids should not be able to hold down buttons.
I don't know, man. I mean...
Those new canvas ones can hold a lot for me, I'll tell you.
I thought that was pretty ingenious. I thought that, I was like, wow, a Band-Aid, that's amazing.
Really bad security system if you're able to bypass it with
a
Band-Aid.
That's true. I mean, in all honesty, if we really think about it, the buttons weren't that far apart. He probably, if he stretched far enough, could probably hit them both with his hands. The door wasn't that wide. But
just a trope.
Life. Okay, so Frank, start with your final thoughts and your score.
After I got, you know, it's I guess it says something about the game that I went through straight 4 hours. It was mechanic wise, it wasn't too aggravating and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. The puzzles at times could be aggravating, but as I said, you knew that the solution was there. You just had to find it.
Yeah.
So it was interesting. I was thinking to myself, this is a nice little, I wouldn't call it an appetizer. I wouldn't call it a full course entree of a game. It's just a nice little in between, not too tough. It's like the just right little game that, occupies you for 4 hours.
Yeah.
So I enjoyed it. I liked it. I'll give it about 7.75. You know, it's not, the most involved game in the world, but it was good. It was fun.
Wonderful. Thank you, Frank. Madeline?
I'm going to give it an 8. I enjoyed the time travel mechanic for the puzzles where you could move in time to let yourself do different things in the spaces.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the story meant a lot more to me than I was expecting it to.
Mm-hmm.
That was a really nice surprise. That's it.
Perfect. Kevin?
This one's really hard to rate because, like, I like some of the humor and stuff, but controls and puzzle-wise, it just kind of irked me a little bit, and it feels really weird playing it on a computer. It feels a lot more like a mobile game.
Sure. That's what the company does, really, mobile games.
I did like it, but I feel like I'd have to give it, like, a 6.8.
Okay.
Because, it just didn't really match up to, or didn't feel that full of a game.
Okay. Chris?
I will agree with what Frank said, where it was kind of like an appetizer type of game here. Mm-hmm. But yeah. I did really enjoy it. It felt a lot like kind of going back to back in the 90s with point-and-click adventure games with some mm-hmm. aspects of there. Mm-hmm. You know, especially with the type of gameplay, just without the, like, inventory system, basically.
Right, right.
But I still had a lot of fun playing it the first time. I still enjoyed playing it again mm-hmm. a second time around.
Mm-hmm.
I remember playing it the first time. The story was just really... I mean, at least to me, it was really impactful the first time mm-hmm. that I played yeah. it. You know, especially with the twists and everything. Yeah. And, you know, yeah. The complexity of the puzzles were good. And, you know, for me, I was able to easily... well, I wouldn't say easily, but wasn't as frustrated finding solutions to the puzzles. Mm-hmm. And yes, there were a few times where I just, like, gave up and, like, all right, give me a walkthrough so I can
yeah.
get past this because I'm kind of just, like, done with this mm-hmm. one. So, yeah, with all that said... you know, unfortunately, there were no dogs. It would have been nice to have, like, some sort of, like, I Am Legend type of, like, companion with you at some point. Yes. But, yeah, overall, I'd give it an 8.5.
Wonderful. As Chris was saying, I enjoyed the complexity of the puzzle. I think that they were pretty well-balanced. Sure, the physics were off on some of the solutions, but I never, you know, there were like maybe three times that I was scratching my head, and those were mostly towards the end for me personally. So, like, I felt like it was a nice, it felt very kind of intuitive on how, like, the puzzles seemed to get a little bit more difficult to solve as you got towards the end of the game. There were some, but there wasn't too much of, like, running back and forth a million times just to solve something. Maybe a few times you had to, like, run maybe, like, back to one room that you already been to and come back, but it wasn't an extreme, like, okay, I have to go back to this room, now to go back to this room, now to go back to this room. It wasn't a very, you know, a tennis effect for too long. You laugh out loud moments. You know, it was a good game. I think it's a perfect mobile game, as Kevin was saying. Like, I could imagine if I played mobile games, that it would be a good game to kind of just play when you're waiting for something, pause it, you know, go out of it, come back to it, and you wouldn't miss that much. So yeah. I'm going to give it, I think I'll go with a 7. Said I enjoyed it. It wasn't, like, amazing, but it was good. It was good. So I will get those scores together and get that posted on the socials as well as here on Discord. Stanton will post the recording tonight. And then next week is our, on September the 4th, Tuesday, is our month check for August, which is Beyond Two Souls. I know that I will be playing about 6 or 7 hours of gameplay between now and next Tuesday.
yeah, I'm not sure how much I got left.
I think it's, I would guess, about 12 hours long, I think, if I remember correctly, looking it up in my last experience. But so we'll be talking about that next week. And then on September the 11th, will be a 1-weeker detention, which I will post a link. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so detention, I think, if I remember correctly, I think it's just PC. It might be on mobile, but I don't remember. It is... Oh, it's on. Oh, okay, it says it's on the Switch, PlayStation 4, Mac, and Macs and PCs. So
what is?
Detention, which is
our September 11th game. Like a while ago.
Yeah. So, and then next week on the 4th, we'll be talking about Beyond Two Souls. So. And you can find us, for those listening, you can find us at thegamechat.net. You can also find us, our podcast, on Stitcher, Google Play, as well as iTunes. We're also on Instagram and Twitter that I do not keep track of as much as I should, but sometime, someday. And also on Discord and Facebook as well. Yeah, so again, thank you guys for chatting with me this week. And I will talk with you next week about Beyond Two Souls, which is available on PS4 and PS3. So, anyways. Okay, bye guys.
Bye.
Bye.